beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of Still the Fat Kid Podcast, where I try to bring you the best actions and strategies so that you too can prove the struggle is real, but I'm stronger. Today's guest, one of my good friends, Sean Chambers. Sean has an incredible story to tell. That's why I wanted him on the show. He's done a lot of things and started his own company, been through a lot. So really excited guest to have on. But to start things off, I love starting off my day like this, so why not start the podcast off like this? Sean, what's something you're grateful for?
I'd have to say just the ability to live life and fully express myself and my abilities to become better every day.
Okay. So you're just grateful for that journey of self-improvement.
Totally. Life, what makes life great to me is that every day is a mystery. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we have the ability to shape and mold our lives in the directions that we want to go.
Absolutely. Okay. When's the last time you've laughed out loud?
I probably have to say at some of the shipping companies I deal with on my manufacturing side.
Yeah.
If I could start a nonprofit organization, not make a dollar and replace them, I would.
That bad,
so,
huh?
Yes. Free shipping took quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always good.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So I love this question because it really helps me kind of get some insight into someone's personality. So if you had a walkout song for life, just like you do in baseball, just like you do in a lot of sports, your personal walkout song, what would it be?
I'd have to say Eye of the Tiger.
Okay.
Classic, use it forever, still pumps people up to this day.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't listen to that song and get pumped up?
I mean, the Rocky movies still get me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever heard the story about the Rocky movie?
Don't believe so.
It's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard. I'm getting deep early on, which I don't normally do, but Rocky actually, he wrote that story. He wrote the original Rocky movie after watching a fight one night. He wrote the entire movie in a single night.
Really?
He stayed up all night after the fight, wrote that movie. He was so passionate about that project and about himself playing the lead role,
mm-hmm.
that all he did was pitch this movie to different executives, different producers. He kept pitching this movie. He actually went dead broke because he was trying to make this work so bad. He was so broke to the point, and this is going to be crazy to a lot of people, especially a lot of people who watch the show. He was so broke, he sold his dog for $20.
Really?
So he could eat.
Wow.
That's how desperate he was, because he was getting offers for the movie, but every offer included someone else playing the main role. And he's like, no, the only way I'm selling this movie is if I'm the main character.
Wasn't part of the vision.
He sold his dog for $20 after he's been offered over $300,000 and a supporting role in the movie.
Mm.
But he still believed in himself so much that he's like, no, I'm the main character. And he ended up, striking a deal for the movie. I think he made like $250,000 or something like that. Not a whole lot. Just on the original screenplay, he's made a bunch more sense then.
Mm-hmm.
But he bought his dog back for like $15,000.
$15,000.
It was like $15,000, and I know I'm butchering the story, but you get the gist of it. He bought his dog back for like $15,000, and the guy that he had to buy his dog back from got a role in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
Sylvester Stallone was like, who's my best friend? He was there with me till the very end when I had to eat. So, yeah, I mean, just a crazy story of just personal belief that I don't know if I have. I don't know if I have that kind of belief. That's crazy to me to turn down, $300,000.
Yeah, he definitely had the faith and had the vision, and look where he's at now.
Exactly.
And that vision is powerful, and to me, that's one of the most powerful things is not only the vision, but it's the focus, the discipline, and just the pure just grit and nonstop.
Yeah, drive.
Yeah. To me, that is, and they call it drive and will for a reason because, mm-hmm. It can get us there.
Exactly. Okay. Let me ask you this, and I think this is an important question for a lot of us because it kind of influences us and shapes us, but growing up, who is somebody that you really idolized, somebody you looked up to?
When I was younger, I'd say I had two stages of my life. I was always looking up to professional athletes, people who basically became the best that they could on the physical aspect. Mm-hmm. But as I grew and mature, I kind of started idolizing people that more so took control of the mental aspects.
Yeah.
I'm a real big fan of Napoleon Hill, just anybody mm-hmm. in that genre of just mastery, becoming the best you can. And to me, just anybody who has control of themselves
yeah.
inspires me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you really find inspiration anywhere.
Seriously, I mean, and there's not a lot of people that could actually just sit down and fully control. I mean, I still can't, you know what I mean? But it's definitely a journey.
Yeah, it is. It's
a journey inward.
Which is the hardest journey.
Yes. A lot of people is really stuck looking outside in the world and trying to find everything outside, but mm-hmm. the true treasure's within. And I think for the change the world, it revolves around each individual changing.
Yeah. So Sean's a good friend of mine, and I want him to talk about his business a little later, but the reason I was excited about having him be a part of this podcast was I wanted you to hear his story. I wanted you to hear kind of how he's evolved and the stuff he's been through that has led him to where he's at today, because he's been able to accomplish a lot of big things, but we identify in this, we've both been through this, we've taken, you know, what's negative in our life and turned it into something positive. So, Sean, if you can, just kind of tell everybody about your personal story and what's developed since then.
Well, it was pretty much, you know, 9 to 5. I was in sales at the airport. Kind of unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Really wasn't satisfied to my day-to-day operations and grind. And, you know, what's really weird about the situation is I kind of put something out there that I was like, I want change. I need change. Where can I find change? What
yeah.
can I do? And one night I got off work and was going to meet some friends for a few drinks, and I didn't even make it there before I was T-boned by a drunk driver. My car spun, flipped, no windows broken. I didn't have one scratch. I wasn't bleeding anything. I just had an internal spinal damage. So it was kind of like I was protected, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that night changed my life. I lost my job, my house, car, ability to walk, and overnight my whole life changed.
Yeah. Wow. So talk to me a little bit, because, I mean, something like that, that's just a life-altering incident, especially when you lose the ability to walk. And how long were you in the hospital for?
Well, I was out the next day. My injury progressed as time went on.
Okay.
So they didn't want to do too much for me because they didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
And so while they was waiting, it got worse and worse. And then they put me in PT, which actually I believe made it worse because they wasn't sure exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I started losing my ability to walk about 3 months in.
Okay.
And about a year and a half, I was kind of bedridden.
Wow.
Yeah.
So bedridden for about a year and a half.
And that's before and after surgery. So
okay.
That's the whole process.
So what, when you were bedridden, what was going through your head? Because, I mean, you're a young, energetic kid, full of life, and all of a sudden, you're trapped in a bed. I would go stir crazy.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I was deep into the philosophies of life and
mm-hmm.
stuff, so I sold my TV, I didn't own a TV, I didn't play video games, so I took this time to learn myself, better myself, and basically just turn a new perspective of life.
Yeah.
What really helped me heal was my diet.
Mm-hmm.
I used a lot of different techniques, teas, fasting, a lot of fruits, vegetables, and just a lot of junk out of my diet for my
yeah.
body to be able to do what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that played a really just big role in everything. Physical, mental, spiritual aspects. Just
now, before your accident, were you eating healthy? Or was this something that started post-accident?
I say I was, but, you know, kind of on both sides, you
mm-hmm.
know. Lean to eating healthy, but we all had that bad
yeah.
diet.
You were trying, but not like 100% about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there was one time I fasted for 3 days, and I've felt changes in my body that I never felt before. I had control over my thoughts, and it was really
it's an interesting process, to say the least.
It was really different. A lot of people think they can't go for 6 hours without a meal. I went 3 days, and mostly just on water, and it was very hard, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, it's a hard initial process, but once you understand that it's just your mind telling you you're hungry, you're not you don't actually have to have food to survive.
Exactly.
And that's a mind trip that your mind, your body's telling you one thing, but it's not necessarily the truth. It's just the way it's been programmed.
Definitely.
Like these people that say, you know, a lot of people say, like, I can't go more than 3 or 4 hours without eating. Well, it's just because that's what you're used to. That's your comfort zone.
That's the limitation box that they choose to believe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I've done a lot of research into fasting. And, you know, while myself, you know, I work out and I do some bodybuilding, stuff like that, so I need nutrients to support that. At the same time, I do a lot of intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a couple fasts like that. And I've done it more as a challenge to myself. That mental challenge. I love a good mental challenge and, you know, really seeing how far I can push myself.
For sure.
But what you find is by doing the research and actually doing it yourself, you see that fasting actually starts a lot of the repair processes in the body.
It really does. One of the things that I learned is that it neutralized a lot of the levels in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's the hormones, you know, so many levels that I really can't even dive deep in right now.
Yep.
But, and you know, we steady eat 3 times a meal, not everybody, 3 times a day. And, you know, you think about the body, if it's processing bulk hours of all times of the day, your body has no time to, you know, heal and reproduce itself. So definitely you got to take care of the body like you take care of your cars or just anything you have in your life. I mean, most people get the oil change in their car. When's the last time they got the oil change in their body?
Exactly.
So we definitely need to focus on the body because this is our instrument in this reality, and we see through this body with our senses for the reality. So if you have a poor machine or a poor vessel, that's going to limit your ability of this plane in life. So,
And what I see a lot of people doing is, you know, now that you mentioned that routine maintenance on your body, I mean, I periodically do it, just kind of reset some things. But what I find with a lot of people, especially a lot of my clients, is they get so busy, so stressed out, and life becomes this mundane, just reciprocated process. They're just going through day-to-day routine, and one of the first things they do is they put their health on the back burner to take care of their job, to take care of their family, to do all their priorities, when, let's be honest, if your health isn't where it needs to be, you can't perform at any of those things. You can't perform at your job if you're not optimal health.
Exactly.
You can't be there for your family if you're struggling with, you know, heart conditions and all these other things that people are struggling with nowadays. So I see them just like, it should be a higher priority than it is, but because they think everything else is more important, they just put it on the back burner.
And I think another big variable that plays into that is the philosophy of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a different philosophy when it comes to disease than the mainstream. But a lot of people, I do agree that genetics does play a large role, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, the environment that our genes are in.
Yeah, epigenetics.
You know? So, you know, that's a really big part, and for people to just, I mean, it's really interesting how people just put their health on the back burner.
Yeah. Now, when you're in kind of recovery mode, and you're, you know, doing all this self-exploration, self-awareness, and really improving yourself on the inside, one of the things you got real big into was teas. Can you kind of tell us your journey in through that? Because, I mean, I'm a tea drinker. I'm actually drinking some now that we're going to talk about later. But can you kind of talk to me about why you discovered that, what it did for you?
Yeah, and I'll touch back on, based with my philosophy of disease, is I think that there's one root cause of disease, and it's cellular malfunction. I believe, you know, the different tissues, cells, and stuff like that, and muscles actually create different environments and can result in different symptoms.
Yep.
So I got in tea for the minerals and all the different benefits that it offers. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, our body contains elements found all over the world and the universe.
Yep.
So we need to give our bodies what it needs to perform optimal levels of any aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So me studying that, I kind of realized that, yes, magnesium could actually help transfer the electricity from brain and parts of the body and just stuff like that. So it's, and I basically assimilated these in my diet, and it's for sure that it really helped me heal.
Yeah.
And my doctor gave me a bunch of prescriptions. I didn't eat any of them. I had a bag full of them. And he was surprised on how I was healing and never told him I wasn't taking any of the pills or anything. And
mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, you know, tea, I think, in the West is growing every year.
It
grew 16% the last 2 years. And at the end of the day, health is wealth, and tea is one of the easiest ways to get your vitamins and nutrients that your body needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing against medicine and doctors, because they are, I mean, they're there to help people.
Oh, they do amazing stuff on their own, for sure.
They do, and, you know, there is certain times where, you know, certain medications and surgeries and all that stuff is definitely needed.
For sure.
Absolutely. But at the same time, there's so many things we could be doing to prevent a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, that preventative maintenance. And, you know, for me, all the research I've done, and kind of like you're talking about cellular malfunction, it's really that stress on your cells, that aging process, and the stress from work and everything else we deal with. I mean, who doesn't have stress these days?
Exactly.
I mean, I know I do daily. So I look at tea and antioxidant stuff like that to kind of counteract that and to be that maintenance before things get too bad. I mean, I know there's certain things I'm not going to be able to control, but why not do what I can control to put myself in the best environment?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people talk about or try to reason why they don't like to eat healthy is because, you know, we're all going to be gone anyway. But at the end of the day, like we were talking about before, you know, the more optimal your health and your body is, the better you could experience this reality. It's, I mean, yes,
Amen.
We're all going to die. That's the first thing guaranteed in our life when we're born. You know what I mean? Like, nobody should run from that. We should accept it.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I mean, I'd rather, you know, feel good than...
And that's the thing, too. It's like, I've had clients that went from eating bad food, they went from eating junk food and processed foods, and we get them to clean up their diet and just start eating whole foods. I mean, mind-blowing, right? Just start eating whole foods. I don't care what it is, just closer to farm to table you can get, the better. And they'll call me a couple weeks into it after the first initial, you know, hangover's gone of that detox that they go through of getting all this processed crap out of their body. And they'll say things like, man, I didn't realize how good vegetables taste. You know, their sounds are louder, colors are brighter. They're experiencing more of the beauty of life now.
Oh, yes.
Because they don't have that brain fog that's caused by most of the crap we put in our body. So, you know, it's, I do it because I love living a healthy lifestyle because I have more energy. I'm able to accomplish more. I'm able to focus more. I mean, I'm extremely ADD, as you know, a lot
I
of our...
I was, you know, given drugs for that when I was little.
Absolutely. You know, and most of society is, just because of cell phones and technology and the way it is. But, you know, when I'm eating healthy and doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the gym and taking care of my body, I find that life is just much more enjoyable at that point.
It really is. And once we could actually control, guide, and just be in our own mental processes,
mm-hmm.
to actually take our focus point and just direct it and control it the whole time, makes life so much easier. I can't tell you how many people I come around that can't sit still. They can't sit in an environment of quietness for a while. I mean, there's just so many little different things. And
yeah.
I mean, it's that, you know, you are your most valuable weapon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what would you say is, like, one thing in your life that's helped you kind of be in that singularity of thought and be in control of your thought process?
When I would say, honestly, what began my journey on mastery is just my journey, the truth of life. I wanted to see life for what it is, not for what I thought it was or believed it is. And just learning how beautiful life is the more you want to learn, the more you learn, the bigger picture you have of life. And it just, you know, so definitely that, I would have to say, kind of got started on it.
And do you do any type of, like, meditation practice?
Yeah, so I started meditating probably 6 years ago.
Wow.
6-7 years ago. Okay. And when
so
I first
before
started,
it was cool.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess you would say that. When I started, I remember the first time I meditated, I couldn't keep my eyelids still.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they were shaking. And I was like, this is hard. But
yeah.
After I kept going and kept going, and it just gets easier. It's just
it does. It does. Like, I know for me, because I suffer from anxiety, I'm extremely ADD. So for me, being still and not doing anything is drudgery. It's torture. So I just got into meditation within the last year.
Really?
But for me, I started out doing breathing exercises. And breathing exercises to me, once I was able to control my breath and do triangle breathing and box breathing, these different techniques that we'll go into later, I was able to kind of, okay, let's do this. Yeah, it brought me back to center. And then once I got really good at the breathing techniques, I kind of said, okay, what's the next level of this? And that's when I got into meditation.
Hmm.
And since I've been doing those two things, I mean, I'll do them at some of the craziest places, but like since I've incorporated those two things in my lifestyle, yeah, I'm still ADD. I still have a hard time sitting still. But for me, it's more of a tool of when I know I need to focus, that needs to be step one. That needs to be kind of the pre-workout I take before I get into it.
Yeah, actually, I meditated for about 30 minutes before I came here today. I woke up at about 5:30. I like to wake up early, get my day started.
Yep.
I like to get at least 3, 4, 5 things done before 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes midday, I like to kind of take a little mental nap, meditation, kind of alter the brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really think that's important. And I mean, just think about how the world would be if that was taught in like kindergarten.
Yeah.
Just where like, okay, everybody, mandatory 15-minute meditation. I mean, to me, that would bring people inside more. They would learn about themselves more. So it'd be more of a reflection as well. So
yeah, because, you know, the way we're raised in this world we live in is just boom, 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 fast pace and get as many things done as you can. Put a cell phone in your hand at an early age. If you're not doing something, you're playing games on your cell phone. I mean, it like when I see parents that quiet their kids by, here's my cell phone. I'm like, oh, like you're teaching your kid this. It's not that necessarily is a bad thing, but you're teaching your kids immediate gratification. You're teaching them don't sit still. You're teaching them to be ADD. You're teaching them all these negative things that, you know, giving them a cell phone is not exactly a bad thing, but giving it to them every time they're bored is just training their brain to learn that's the way life is.
That they will receive something when they want something.
Constant stimulation. I have to have constant stimulation.
That is a big thing in our culture, is the addiction to stimulation.
Yes.
Now, people can talk about they're addicted to alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, hamburgers, candies. It's more of the sensation than it is the item. The sensation of the item.
Yeah.
So that's another role that, you know, could be altered if people actually go in and meditate and learn about themselves and actually discipline within.
Yeah. Because, like, when I left my job in commercial real estate and started doing what I'm doing now, being an entrepreneur, you know, it did create a lot of anxiety in me. But one of the things that I started doing early on was, and I was so thankful I had the ability to do this, because I own my own business and I do everything on my terms, my schedule, I had the ability for the first time in probably 10 years to put my cell phone down and not worry about it for a couple hours. And, you know, I come back to it and answer emails and phone calls like that. But if I needed to take a mental break, I could put that stupid thing down, put it on silent, and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think I need to discipline myself more when it comes to the cell phone.
We're addicted to them. I mean,
it's like a modern day Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. For me, it was like, you know, because my business is really focused around social media and constantly having to post content, posting updates and pictures and stuff like that.
You know, having to interact with the audience.
Exactly.
Emails, it's just
you don't want somebody to respond to your picture or a post and you not respond back to them immediately. Exactly. You want to be there for them. So it creates an addiction that, like we talked about, that constant stimulus. So for me, it was that ability to put my cell phone down and meditate and do breathing techniques, stuff like that, to really draw myself back from that, you know, made a large difference. I mean, I still deal with anxiety and stress and all that stuff, and I still, sometimes people around me make fun of my ADD-ness because if I'm out, you know, I can't really sit still. But if I need to, I have that ability to, you know, kind of rein it in. One of the funnest things I've done this past year was I go hiking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my absolute favorite place to meditate is like literally when I'm hanging off a cliff. Like sitting on a cliff, you know, a few hundred feet off the ground.
I haven't done that one.
And it's, what I love about it is you're getting this rush of adrenaline because literally you're a foot from dying. You know, you fall off this cliff, you're dead. You have this adrenaline rush and all this endorphin release, but at the same time, you're meditating and bringing it back in. So it's a complete duality there of your body fighting in two different directions.
Yeah.
But meditating up there for me, you know, and being able to control those endorphins, control that adrenaline release, that's been powerful for me.
Yeah.
And it's helped me, like when I go on a big stage and talk or when I go to something like that, you have all these adrenaline rushes going on, but you're able to kind of bring it back in and come back to center.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering, I've actually came across some research that says that mineral deficiencies could actually cause anxiety, depression, and other symptoms.
Yes, it can.
So just someone having a magnesium deficiency, mm-hmm. depression or anxiety can be a symptom from. So I don't think a lot of people know that. I think a lot of people think that their life could be stressing them out, but it could be a simple mineral deficiency.
Yep.
And, you know, touch back on it, tea, even in our foods, almonds is rich in magnesium. You know, a lot of these foods that you were talking about that come from nature, you mm-hmm. know, that's grown with this, as you could say, God symmetry, I guess you would want to say, is the beautiful, perfect cells.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I believe that, I mean, everything we need is all around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I learned a while back when I got my nutrition certification that a lot of the hunger symptoms that people face and that they feel is actually a vitamin mineral deficiency. Like if your body is craving magnesium, something like that, if your body's craving vitamin C, then it's not going to send a signal to your brain and say, hey, I need some vitamin C. No, it's just going to send a signal that says I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Or it's going to say, hey, you're craving this, you're craving sweet, you're craving sour, whatever. It's going to send a craving to your brain. When all it is, you're deficient in a vitamin. You're not actually hungry. But then people are going to say, well, I'm hungry. I need to go eat. And they just start eating, even though all they need was some vitamin C.
Yeah. I really have this philosophy as well that I don't believe I'm my body. I believe it's the vessel and this energy within it. So I try not to let my body dictate me in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So just because it's hungry, I'm craving something, I will kind of divert that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, we have an incredible power over our body once we tap into it.
Yeah,
it's really hard to tap into it because it takes a lot of work mentally. But you have a lot of, I mean, I've even read stories and research about people healing their body just by focusing on it, by focusing on that injury and really thinking about the reparative process that goes on in the body, like really focusing on all that, actually able to repair their body that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things that I've really started researching and learning about is the power of the mind and the control it has of our body. It's just, it's freaking hard to tap into because to believe and to focus that hard on something takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. And with my situation, I mean, I couldn't walk. There'd be days where I didn't take a shower because mm-hmm. it would be excruciating pain just to get to the shower to take
yeah.
a shower and stand up. I lost feeling in my left leg. But it's those moments right there. I mean, that just kind of, it's what got me started on my business venture is the fact that I lost everything, so it's no longer a risk.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people are scared to do it because they have their stuff going on, and mm-hmm. they don't want to risk the time, the energy, the money, the effort. But to me, it was a mere thing of survival.
Yeah. So you bring up your business venture, and it started from, it started from a negative. So kind of talk to the audience about how your business venture came to be.
Well, definitely going through the struggles of going to physical therapy every day. And learning about myself, health, stuff like that. I actually got inspired by a lady in Texas. Mm-hmm. She was a master blender, and she made all these blends and was doing this informational stuff on it. And I actually was following her on one of my social networks.
Okay.
So I kind of got inspired with that. The situation happened. Put me in a position to where, I was wanting and needing to utilize these things that she was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I started messing around with it. I definitely understood the fact that the inflammation can be fought, nausea,
yep.
pain, stuff like that can be fought naturally. So I basically just took a stand and just wanted to go on the health route instead of basically using these pills, I guess you
yeah.
could say. So I kind of got inspired through her. Then once I was healing, I actually had two accounts that I landed before I even had a company or a product.
Wow.
So I was telling them, and just my imagination was going
yeah.
everywhere, and they was like, well, look, if you ever do that,
mm-hmm.
you can put them in our stores.
You're telling your story.
Yes. So I went home and... no TV, no video game. All I had was me, myself, and my thoughts in a
mm-hmm.
notepad. So I basically took all these visions and ideas I had in my head, and I put them on a piece of paper, broke them up, categorized them, created a step system, started executing it, and now we're here today. So,
okay, so tell them a little bit about your company and what exactly you do and why you believe what you believe inside your company.
Well, the brand motto is, for every drug a doctor prescribes, there's a natural substance that could achieve the same effect.
Okay.
Now, being that I went through an experience, finding that out myself
mm-hmm.
definitely puts a lot bolder core behind that statement
yeah.
in the company. So it ended up being the worst situation molded into the greatest situation. And with the help of my mastery in those situations, I believe that I basically molded and guided myself to that spot
mm-hmm.
instead of just allowing stuff to play out.
Yeah.
So we're a local wholesaler. Well, not too much local anymore, but we're on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We have product in New Orleans, Pensacola, and all over the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And we have about 70 to 80 products, and we're just looking to put a good dent in the world and just help people how it helped me. So
yeah.
It definitely feels good to have a company actually doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get into positions and companies and jobs just for the financial aspect.
Yeah.
And sometimes these jobs could have, detrimental effects to not only ourselves, our community, the world, and stuff like that. So it feels really good to actually just try to put out good stuff for the world.
Mm-hmm. So the name of Sean's company is Restorative Nature. It's a totally organic tea company. And now we're just starting to get into some mushrooms a little bit, which I'm a big fan of. Not the trip mushrooms, but the actual healing and good for you mushrooms. I take a mushroom supplement every day, but I've been drinking Sean's tea for a while now, and I can really see the benefits of it. I drink it in the morning because I do intermittent fasting, so I drink tea in the morning, and it really helps me with my cognitive ability to focus in on my my work and everything I'm doing. So Sean's out there doing some really good things in that community, in the tea market. And the biggest thing that I love about Sean's brand and Sean's company is his story. I mean, he can totally stand behind it. He can totally say, this is the effect it had in my life. He didn't just read some research and say, okay, I can make money selling this. No, I mean, if you talk to this guy, you truly see his passion for what he does. And to see someone out there is like, they have a passion, they have a void in their community they want to fill, and they just go do it. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's kind of, you know, what we talk about all the time. It's the same thing I did. I took the biggest negative of my life, which was me being overweight and the associated problems with that, and I was able to build a business out of it. It's the same thing Sean's doing. Sean took, you know, what something that negative in his life and found something that helped him and said, you know what, there's a real need for this in my community, so I'm going to start a business out of that. And, you know, it's organic. It's, you know, it looks like a bunch of cut up grass in a bag, but, you know, that's the way tea should be. It shouldn't be, you know, just ground black, nothing.
Flaky, dry, and disintegrates in your hand like that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like that. It should be, you know, a whole natural product that Sean, you know, now distributes. And he's got some big plans to take this nationwide and to do some big things with it. So through your struggles and through building a business, what's one thing you do to stay motivated? Because, I mean, owning your own business is tough. Coming from what you overcame, now owning your own business, it's not easy.
Not at all.
So what's one thing you do to stay motivated?
I think, honestly, it's just the self-mastery aspect of it. I've built that base on the philosophy of my life, and I've programmed myself to want to become better every day. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this little belief empowers me to just keep pushing every day, because I know that I could become better than I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So it's that constant improvement.
Constant improvement. I mean, diamonds are created from friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so good and bad is relative. So what's good to somebody else is bad to somebody else, and vice versa. So it's be careful what we label stuff. You mm-hmm. know, it could actually really affect us. So, but I try to get beyond the polarities and just not label situations and just try to come out on the positive end no matter what it be. So
yeah, a lot of that is like your perspective and how you see things.
Exactly. And I really think that has a big aspect to kind of push me forward and mm-hmm. keep me going every day is my mental attitude.
Yeah. I was joking with one of my friends the other day. She made the comment of, I just like giving you a hard time, because she was joking with me, giving me a hard time. I said, it's only a hard time if I see it that way.
Exactly.
You know, it's about my perspective of it. You know, somebody giving me a hard time, and if I know they're just giving me a hard time, you know, I look at it as humor. I don't look at it as, man, they're giving me hell. You know, it's not. It's not a negative to me. It's something positive, because, you know, at least they're taking time to do that.
Yeah, another motivating factor is, you know, the people's belief that it can't be done.
Yeah.
And to me, like, every new person doubting me is just more fuel. And, I mean, I spend no less than 13, 14-hour days daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, waking up at 5:30, going to sleep at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and just, I mean, I really believe we have the ability to create the life we want.
We do.
And if we could alter the foundation, the structure of our mind, and actually understand that that's what life flows from, you know, I believe that we can be, in turn, really powerful beings and, mm-hmm. you know, not only change the world, but be the change that you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, I mean, that internal competitive drive of somebody telling you can't do something, it's powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely gives you more of an edge.
It does.
Being you was in the football for a long time, I mean, just the team thinking that they're going to come out here and beat you kind of gets you a little bit more pumped up than you going out there thinking you're going to mm-hmm. beat them. So it's definitely the whole, you know, however we look at it mentally, for sure.
Yeah, because when I first started losing all my weight, I mean, I was over 300 pounds, and here I was, this, you know, fat kid, and I would tell people, even early on in my journey, I'm like, I'm going to have a six-pack one day. And, of course, they would look at me like, good luck with that. You know, like, yeah, it's not, look, you're really big, you might lose some weight, but come on, really?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm glad you said that, just watch. And, you know, it took me a while. It took me a year and a half, probably, to get there. But, you know, I had, like, visible abs for the first time in my life, because I was always overweight. And it was so gratifying to me personally of not only giving myself a challenge, but other people challenging me and saying, you really can't do that.
Yeah.
And then to go out there and actually do it, man, that's that's something powerful that I wish more people would experience, because the confidence you gain from that, the things, the way you develop inside from really giving yourself that hard challenge and then going out there and doing it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, building a business, I've never done a lot of this stuff. You know, I had to teach myself, and whether I know it or not, it has to be done. So
yeah, and that's a characteristic you see of a lot of successful entrepreneurs is, you know, if you don't know something, you don't just whine about not knowing. You go figure it out. You go, okay, we have access to the internet. You have something called Google. If you don't know how to do something today, there's something wrong with you.
Pretty much.
Because I learned, like this podcast right now, I learned it on YouTube. I learned the software and how to hook up the wires, work the mic. I learned all that on YouTube just by searching for it. So the knowledge is out there, but most people are too lazy to go acquire it.
Yeah, we're definitely in interesting times. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, the people that tell me, man, I don't know how you do it, I'm like, how do you not do it? That's my question.
Perspective is everything.
It is. It's about that story you tell yourself.
It really is.
Because, I mean, I used to tell myself that story of, hey, you're not good enough. You never will be. But once I said, okay, you don't know how good you're going to be.
So what was your defining moment for your switch and your change of your lifestyle?
For me, it was after I finished playing college football. I had 4 knee surgeries in a year, a lot of other injuries. I have a very thick medical chart. But I'm laying in recovery from double knee surgery after my last game of college football. Of course, as thick as my medical chart was, I had no chance of playing pro football. even though I was projected, if I had continued on my path and been healthy, I was projected really high in the draft, just because how good my numbers were. But I knew after all the injuries, there was no chance of me playing pro football. So I'm laying in recovery, and I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. My body was completely beaten up. It took me, you know, 10, 15 minutes to get out of bed every morning. And the first thing I did every morning to be able to function in life was I'd have to go sit in an ice tub. And that's miserable. Anybody that's ever done it, you know that's miserable. It's a terrible feeling to go, you know, be up to your neck in ice water at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I was having to do that. And then on top of being physically beaten down, mentally, I was just a mess because I was overweight. So I was dealing with those issues of the insecurity and the not being good enough. I was dealing with all of that. But at the same time, you know, I was just beaten down mentally from being physically messed up.
Yeah.
You know, my body was hurting every day, which, you know, when you're having to do the things I was having to do to play, I mean, we've all seen the movie Varsity Blues. That's real.
Yeah.
That really does happen.
For sure.
So, I mean, I was having to do all that. So, mentally and physically, I was broken. I was just beaten down. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So, that moment also was coupled with my football career's done. I've graduated twice now from college. Got 2 degrees. It's the first time in my life, that I was actually able to say, okay, you don't have to live up to anybody else's expectations. You don't have to do what anybody else wants you to do. Who do you want to be? What do you want your life to look like? And it's the first time in my life I could actually make my own decisions and live life according to my terms. So the first thing I wanted to do, and the first thing I'd been wanting to do for a couple years, was get the weight off. So I got within a calendar year, lost a little over 100 pounds. And, you know,
which is a great start.
It is. It is. And I tell people all the time, losing 100 pounds is not nearly as hard as keeping it off for 10 years. That's the hard part.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, not just a...
It is. It is.
Sure.
But it's not... It wasn't really like an aha moment for me. It was a gradual buildup of negatives that finally I just had enough of.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people that turn their life around, whether it's from addiction or overcoming this, that, and the other, it's never like a singular moment more than it is a gradual buildup of just crap and negatives and stuff they've been through. Yeah, they might have that moment where they finally snap, like I did, but it's always this buildup of just constant crap in your life that you finally have enough of.
Yeah, years ago I was, you know, suffering from a slight depression, and mm-hmm. you know, my mind was running wild. I was a real negative thinker, and you know, I was definitely to that point too where I was tired of it. And this is before I begun the mastery journey.
Yeah.
You know, and I was, you know, looking for it all externally, and I basically asked the universe for a change, and it sent it in the form of a drunk driver.
Yeah.
So.
Which probably wasn't the change you were asking for.
No. Be careful what you're asking for sure. So.
Yeah. But, you know, like with me, I'm thankful that happened. Like, I'm thankful for the crap that I went through,
exactly.
because I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now doing this if it hadn't been for that.
Exactly.
Because only through our hardships do we, you know, learn the beauty of life, and we learn what amazing things are out there.
It actually allows us to enjoy the good, mediocre things. You know what I mean? Whether it's really enjoyable to just mediocre, just knowing that you don't have to go back there. To me, I'm grateful every morning not feeling what I felt in my past.
Exactly.
So that's put me above par every morning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So... You know, I just want to take some time right now to really thank you for who you are. Guys, Sean's an incredible person. He's always putting out positivity. He's always doing good things. You know, every time I've ever had an interaction with him, it's always been, like, super motivating, super, like, positive. And, hey, where are we going next? What are we doing next? And, you know, he's wrapped that mindset around a product that is actually helping people. So he's doing a lot of good, not only in his servitude attitude towards people, but also in the company he's formed. So, you know, I just want to acknowledge you for that and really thank you for the stance you're taking on health and what you stand for.
Yeah, it's definitely been a long journey. You know, anytime that, you know, you have the mindset of just standing in your square and thinking for yourself instead of being kind of influenced
mm-hmm.
by the big pillars in life.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a hard, difficult process at times. You know, it definitely, my journey's affected many relationships in mm-hmm. my life. You know, some I've lost, some I gained.
Yep.
You know, either case, I've become better and I'm growing into become the best person I have. So, or I will be. And yeah, it's definitely it's a difficult but wonderful journey.
It is. It is. So where can people go to find out more about you, follow you on social media, website? Where can people go to learn more?
Well, they could follow me on Instagram at MrT228. Also, Sean Chambers on Facebook. Or they could follow my company pages on Instagram or Facebook at Restorative Nature. They could also check out some of our products on www.restorativenature.com. And just email me if you have any questions, anything at all, at Sean. It's Sean@restorativenature.com.
Awesome. And I'll put all the links in the description below. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in this week. As always, you can find out more about Sean, about things that I'm doing at robbiedeangelo.com. Also, please leave me a note, like, and subscribe on your favorite social media at Robbie DeAngelo. This is your friend in the struggle, and my amazing guest today, Sean Chambers, proving to you, once again,
the struggle is real, but you are stronger.